Well, bless your hearts. Good morning. It's great to be back with you. We certainly enjoyed the time we had with our grandsons and the fellowship we had there and shoveling snow and the people that we knew from the area and shoveling snow and going to look at different things and shoveling snow. So it was a wonderful time. This morning, I'd like to teach on a kingdom of opportunity. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 3, we live in a wonderful country. When I was growing up, people often referred to our country as the land of opportunity, a place of great opportunity. It wasn't unusual to hear that you could grow up to be president. Very often in our classes, our teachers would tell us, one of you could become the president of the United States. And even today in our grade schools, our elementary schools, you can ask children, what would you like to be when you grow up? And we hear a variety of different things. I'd like to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. Or I want to be an astronaut, a movie star, a baseball player. Maybe even the president of the United States, you might hear some child say that. Because great expectations still abound in our country and in other countries around the world. But we not only live in this country, we live in the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of opportunity. Opportunity unlimited. But as we move into the world, because of the cynicism, the skepticism that we hear, and negative things, we start to lose our expectations. Our expectations become lowered because of other people's talk. And you and I, as children of the kingdom of opportunity, ought to speak more boldly about the opportunities that are available to us, and that people might move forward on them with great joy in their hearts. You know, we hear that the United States became a rich country because it stole resources from another place, or because we did the work on enslavement and it made us wealthy and all of these things. What we really made in the U.S. is people of opportunity, where the values that we have gained through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, where our hearts were softened by God's great love. We gained by our love for God His spiritual resources, and that's what made America great. We gained from Him a morality that is so impeccable and a will to do it because of His wonderful love. Our great expectations and boldness is to declare the truth. It's not the gold of California. It wasn't the diamonds of Africa or the oil of the Middle East. It's not even the technology from the East, but men and women whose moral values and genuine hope in a God who is love and is light makes America a great place. And it's because we live in a kingdom of opportunity. And anyone in the world can live in that kingdom wherever they are. You don't have to make your pilgrimage to the United States to enjoy opportunity and prosperity, because God's kingdom is in you, He tells us in the Scriptures. So wherever you are, you can be in the kingdom of God. People who did not focus on what they have, but it's people who don't focus on what they do not have. It's people who rejoice because of the blessings they are already manifesting and have a great hope for much more. The blessings of Christ, that is unquenchable optimism that things will always get better. And that's where our heart set should remain, and not ever allow our hearts to be deterred from the promises of the truth of the Scriptures. I told you to start in Acts chapter 3, but actually let's start in Proverbs chapter 10. Let me read this to you. or let us read it together. Proverbs chapter 22, and I mean Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Here we go. The promise is, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Where people have been made rich and they have sorrow after sorrow is because they have rejected the essence and the beginning of all joy and blessings is the love of God in Christ. And they have not allowed God's blessings, but the works of their own and how the adversary enriches people. And there is always great trouble and problems with that. If we simply come back to the simple morality we used to allow in our schools when we allowed people to teach the Bible in classes, but that's fine. We can homeschool and teach people the blessings and the promises of God and living in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of opportunity. You can be a wonderful man. You can be a wonderful woman of God and be an inspiration to others. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us where man's thinking has taken us. And it's very simple. It's very clear. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and also in verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them through themselves through with many sorrows. In our culture, we are basically taught the love of money. We see the examples of it. And where the born-again believer whose great joy and rejoicing was in God turns to money, then they pierce themselves through with many sorrows, many mental distresses, many problems. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It's a little different view than people view the Bible, that it's all of do not do this and do not do that. It's the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Beautiful. If the enjoyment of life has gone out and you no longer have a hopeful determination in God's word, his love and his unfailing promises, it would make good sense to go back. And we have plenty of people, you and me, those of us who sit under this teaching and teachings in other places, who teach the love of God and who teach the goodness of God, who teach the blessings of God and encourage people to live it. It's good we have plenty of people to lead them back, that the things God has given us give us a great zest for living. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And again, I want to emphasize this because we're always concerned about economies and all of these different things. But let's look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 8. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And even this day, the day that you and I live in. The word wealth here is the resources to do good. The ability and the resources to do good. And if your focus is on what you do not have, you will never attend to the things that he has already given to us that we might do good. And there's a lot of good that needs to be done. and we ought to get into an unquenchable optimism about things always getting better, and they do because God has made promises that things can get better, and bring people back to a zest for living instead of reading the newspaper and complaining, watching the TV and complaining. And all it does is it becomes habit forming. It's very easy. You hear people complaining at work, and the next thing you know, what's coming out of your mouth? Complaints, complaints, complaints. The world's not perfect. That's why we need to go to the kingdom of opportunity, the kingdom of God. It's in you. It's already in you. It's not something we're waiting for. It's already in you. And it just keeps getting better. So the lie is, everything was fine until I got a dose of reality. You might have had a dose of experiences. You might have had doses of negatives in huge amounts. The poisons of the world. But the reality is the truth of God's word. You might have had a dose of reality, but you need a good dose of the truth is what you really need. Let's go to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. There's so much richness in this word, so much joy to live and be lived. Don't get so caught up in the world that you don't have time to have the joy of God. Because all of the work you're doing to try and get joy, all of the work you're doing to try and get yourself peaceful, all of the work you're doing to try and get your need met, God has already taken care of that for you. Jump into the kingdom of opportunity. Not where every day you got to worry about your job, whether they're going to downsize, they're going to outsize, they're going to exercise, whatever they're planning to do. Jump into the kingdom of God. It is the land of opportunity. It's the kingdom of opportunity. John chapter 8, verse 30. And he spake these, as he spake these words, that's Jesus Christ, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews, which what? Believed on him, or believed him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the dose of reality. No, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall absolutely make you free. Isn't that something? If you continue in my word, you can't, don't quit on the word. Because it is what will give you the joy, the effervescence, the hope, the promises. It will make known God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of knowledge of science. We have so much science, we can kill ourselves with it, and many others. It's not a lack of knowledge of mathematics. We can count our debt higher than we can count. You know, in a lifetime, they say, if you try to count the national debt starting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, your life is not long enough to finish how much we already owe. We need to make the jump to the reality of the truth. We need to continue in his word, and he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not bound to the things of the earth and the experiences of the earth. We ought to be free men and women, and we have the freedom to speak. Let's speak to other people. Let's make that our great joy in life. Let's make that our great purpose of life, to carry forth the truth of God's word and lead people to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And not only that, then all of the abundant promises that God has, an opportunity that God has already set for us. We have an awesome opportunity to dwell in the realm of the miraculous. Opportunity that we have to take things to God. Look at Acts chapter 3. Now we'll get to Acts chapter 3. and simply following the same things that happened in the scriptures. These records of men who believed God's word, acted on God's word, and saw these magnificent results. It's hard to see miracles when you don't dwell in the reality of miracles. It's hard to live in and receive miracles when your mind is not connected to the miraculous, where your heart is not connected to the miraculous, where you think it's just this once-in-a-lifetime event, possibly for you or for me. It should be our daily living. We live in the kingdom of the miraculous because a miracle is something that is beyond human expectation. So if it's beyond human expectation, how will you ever get to it? Because you are connected to a God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And that puts you right in the realm of the miraculous. If we live in his kingdom, we will live in the kingdom of the miraculous. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? But we dwell in this world and we have experiences in this world and we are allowing experiences to dominate the truth of the word. And experience is no guarantee for truth. So we ought to live in the reality of the kingdom of God, a kingdom of opportunity. Well, Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Actually, you can actually go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those that were being saved. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, That's a great key. Take more and more determined time to pray. They prayed four times a day, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, 3 p.m., and then at six again. I guess that's more than that, but their function, the way that they lived in it and the way that they handled it, they prayed many times a day. Take time to pray and pray those prayers of thanksgiving of the reality of being in the realm of the miraculous, the kingdom of the miraculous. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. A certain man. The word certain means in the sense of this one as opposed to that one. He distinguished himself. Beautiful. And he was laid there. He was lame from his mother's womb, which means he never walked. Never took a step in his entire life. He had to be carried everywhere. And he's at the gate called Beautiful at the hour of prayer to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And I've shared with you before, asking of alms was not begging. Asking of alms was things like, would you go in and pray for me? Ask God to heal my body, ask God to deliver me, or ask God to open things to me so that I can understand how I may be healed, because I've read that he is the Lord, our physician. I've seen Jesus, the wonderful man who healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I know that it has to be God's will for healing. Would you go in, when you go into prayer and you go into the temple, would you pray for me? Not homeless, anything would help. That's not it. Now, obviously they are not knowledgeable of the scriptures, or they wouldn't have to have a sign out there, because what do you want? Just a couple of bucks and that's going to solve your problem? I think people who are on our street corners, and you know, I feel for them, because the adversary really worked a work in our time that is just so vicious and so evil and so hurtful, that there are people who are out there, whether they got there because of alcohol or something else, you know, they got where they got to because they listened to what the adversary, what the devil had to broadcast, what Satan had to say over the things that what God had to say, and we have the opportunity to lead them back. Lead them back to the truth. Lead them back to the kingdom of God. We have that opportunity. Well, he was carried daily and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. The word ask is very significant, because the word ask means, this particular word means he asked them to do something rather than to give something. He was asking them to do something rather than asking them to give me something. And he asked an alms. And alms comes from this word alms comes from the root word for mercy. He's not begging in the sense of today. He's just going, when you go in, ask God to remind God to be merciful unto me that I might have my healing. He didn't stop them to give him something. He asked them to do something for him. When you go in and you pray to God and you make your request, would you remind him? Would you ask on my behalf in the house of God? You know, I can't get in the door. I'm laid outside. But when you go in, can you ask God on my behalf that he remember my situation and be merciful unto me? Isn't that beautiful? That's what this is showing. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Peter fastened his eyes on him. Let me show you a couple of other places where this word fastened is used. Leave a ribbon here in Acts chapter 3, and let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's start in verse 17. It says, "And there was delivered unto him," this is Jesus, "the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, or the humble, the needy. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the timeliness of God's presence is now. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were absolutely focused because this was so unusual, this was so dynamic, so powerful, it got their attention. Peter and John said, fastened their eyes on him, and he said, look on us. Why? Because they were speaking the same words, they were fulfilling the same prophecies that Jesus spoke about here. Another place is in Acts 11. Let's go there. Acts 11. We'll start in verse 1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard the Gentiles. Wait a minute. Is this? Let me just make sure I got it. Yeah. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter, rehearsing the matter from the beginning, and expounded it in order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance, or got a vision, I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came even to me, upon which, when I had what? Fastened my eyes, I considered and saw, and then he goes on to what he saw, but he focused on what? The vision. And the vision was God's declaration to him of what he needed to do and where he needed to go. Do you get it? And he fastened his eyes on it. In other words, you know, get the gist, really look at and consider what I'm saying to you now. Peter and John said, look on us. And he fastened his eyes on him and said, look on us. Consider what we're saying. This is as big in person happening to you than Peter saw in a vision. This is as big as what Jesus Christ read to the people, and then they all fastened their eyes on him. It is a big, because our kingdom is the kingdom of the miraculous and the kingdom of opportunity, and that kingdom dwells in you. Their eyes locked. Not the cynicism of the world. They turned away from everything else and looked at him. They turned away from everything else and listened to the words that they had to say. Is not the cynicism and skepticism, the fears, the harshness, not on the world, but the word I speak unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Boy, oh boy, because the resources are there. The word ask means demand, but it doesn't mean demand like give it to me, dadgummit. It means like it's already, the resource is already in your account. Just receive it. Seek, look for it. And you are going to what? Find, yeah. Ask God. When you go, would you ask God? Would you remind God? Would you beseech God about my situation? Seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. Boy, oh boy, what a tremendous, wonderful blessing. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 3. You see, if we came with the words of man's wisdom, then all we'd have is what man can think. But Paul said, when I came unto you, I came not with the wisdom of man, but with the wisdom of God and with power. We have the power, we have the ability, we have the resources, they're already there. Let's walk in the kingdom of God. There's enough time to be disturbed by the world, but we ought to focus on the greatness of the kingdom of God and what he's done for us. Well, verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what?
Walk.
Well, that would have done, that does him a lot more good than money would have. Because there's money all over the place. It didn't solve the problem. It didn't answer his prayer. Even if they had millions of dollars to give to him, even if they had access to surgeries and rehab and all of those things, there was nothing in the world that he could have purchased to answer and resolve his situation. But in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the word of God and the authority that had been given to them, they reached out and lifted him up, and he rose. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There's the land of the miraculous, the kingdom of the miraculous. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what?
Praising God.
Because those things cause praise to God. Beautiful. That was a hand up rather than a hand out. I'll tell you for sure. That was, you know. And he, leaping up, walked and entered into the temple, walked with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the temple, at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. Wow. Amazed, because this word amazed means it is beyond what would ever cross their minds. It is amazed, that word amazed, it never crossed their mind. It was absolutely inconceivable that that man could get healed. And it was in the kingdoms of the world, but it is not in the kingdom of God. There is, it is the kingdom of opportunity, and it is the kingdom of might and miracles, and we can live in it right now, because the kingdom of God is in you. That's something. That's a dose of true reality. How could something like that happen to me? Why doesn't it? Well, who lowered your expectations? Raise your expectations. Stop listening to the world and keep on believing. Let's go to Galatians, and we'll close it out there in Galatians chapter 6. Again, I'm so blessed to be back with you and looking at the Word of God and looking at these great truths with you, and having the blessing of sharing these things with you. Because when for the time you should be teachers of the oracles of God, you have need of meat. You have need. We have need to operate the things of God. There is such a need for men and women to lead this Christian nation back to Christ. Instead of listening to all the atheistic promises of the world and the disgust of the world, we're trying to help people. And with all their atheism, all of their worldly wisdom, they're not doing the job. But we from the kingdom of God, just simple ones, can teach them the simple truth. And in Galatians chapter 6, it says, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And due season means a season of time, a season of delight. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially them who are of the household of faith." The born-again believers of every stripe. It's people who already have a Christian background. Let's be especially good to them. Let's be especially kind and generous to them to lead them back to the kingdom where all of their situations and all of their problems are resolved by the promises of God. Let's bring them back so that they're no longer destroyed because they lack knowledge, but that we lead them back to the truth and away from the lies and distortions that they have heard from the world, so that they can enjoy all the wonderful blessings of God. He hath given us the power to get wealth, that we would have the resources to do good. Let's go do it. Bless your hearts.